They made a new 50th anniversary episode of The Muppet Show recently. It was put online a few days ago. I was very disappointed to find there was no Pigs in Space. Pigs in Space was a regular feature on the original Muppet Show. They didn't have Pigs in Space. Instead, they had some weird thing about pigs in some stately home or something at a ball. The rest of it was fine, except for the problem with Kermit. The ongoing problem of Kermit that's going to bug us all for the rest of our natural lives, those of us who were born in the 1970s. I was born, I think, the same year the Muppet Show started, or the year after, or the year before. So I have certain things I'm entitled to expect from a show like this when it's brought back. Don't get the idea that the Muppet Show is being brought back to entertain your children, your five-year-old children. It's not. It's being brought back for the likes of me, who have fond memories of it from the 1970s. And we want to relive that, so we go and watch the new Muppet Show now. That's not for your kids. So don't be getting all high and mighty thinking, oh, this is completely unsuitable for my children. It needs to change. No, it does not. That's how they ruined Sesame Street. I watched Sesame Street recently. I had the misfortune to see some brand new Sesame Street. It's on Netflix now. It's absolutely appalling. There's very little street, very little human interaction. It opens up and they have Elmo, who's supposedly a child monster Muppet. And then they have these other monster Muppets who were there when I was a child in the 70s. So they're clearly not children. Grover is not a child. Grover was on Sesame Street in the 1970s. Grover is old enough to be Elmo's great-great-great-great-grandmother. Now, you might think, Grover's male. How could he be a grandmother? I didn't say he could be a grandmother. I said he's old enough to be one. I didn't say he's qualified to be one. I said he's old enough to be Elmo's great-great-great-great-grandmother. Or whatever I said, I don't know. I might have said a different number of greats the first time. I suppose I could fix that in editing. But I won't. I won't. Or maybe I will. I don't know. I suppose it depends on whether I did it wrong or not. If I said great-great-great-great-grandmother the first time, and then I said great-great-great-great-great-grandmother the second time, so that's a different number of times. I could just cut out one of the greats from the second one. Actually, what I could do is add a couple of greats to the first one and add one great to the second one, and then we'll have six greats at each one. If I said four greats the first time and five greats the second time, for example, I don't know if that's the case, but if I did, maybe I'll double them up. I'll turn the first one into about 12 greats, and I'll turn the second one into 13 greats. Just to be argumentative. If I feel like it at the time during the editing process, I don't know. A lot of this program is formed during the editing process. Little things like that put a bit of shape into it. So future self, it's your job to make this somewhat entertaining. Well, make it entertaining for you. Doesn't matter whether it's entertaining for me. I'm just doing the hard slog of recording it now, getting this shit done. And then my future self can have fun listening back and finding the content in it and putting it up somewhere and going, oh, isn't this great? Isn't this great? My future self will take credit for this, of course. He says, oh, look what I recorded earlier. That was me. I recorded this as great, or it will be when I'm finished editing it. No, I did that. That wasn't you. Future self, this isn't you. This is me doing this. This is me. I allow you to use it. But this is me. And those legs that you have, you didn't make them. In fact, I didn't make them either. They've been growing since the late 1970s. They've been growing. Neither of us gets to take credit for my legs. By the way, I'm not claiming to have particularly nice legs. I'm saying they have legs and they work. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. He might think, oh, that's a bit weird, celebrating the fact that his legs work. Well, I have other parts of me that don't work quite as well. My retinas, for example, they don't work, and I don't take credit for them not working. Because for one thing, that's not an achievement, but it's also not a failing on my part. I didn't go around not looking after my retinas or legs. In fact, I use my legs quite a lot. I've always used my legs quite a bit. Even sitting at home here, I'm using my legs. At the moment, my legs are up on a little plastic stool. The type of plastic stool that women and siblings use to get to the top of a wardrobe that's apparently 4 inches higher than can be reached from the floor. So it's used effectively to raise the floor a bit. I like raising my feet when I'm sitting here at the desk. It feels like you're suspended above the floor somewhat. I'm sitting on a chair, but my feet aren't on the ground. They're on that little plastic stool thing under the desk. So it feels like I'm not on the floor at all. It's great. I like it. I like it. I do. I like this here. I like this setup here. It's good. I know you're not claiming that it's not good. I sound like I'm arguing with you. So you're saying it's not good. I'm saying it's good. I'm saying I think I'm more qualified to comment on whether or not my recording setup is good. It might not be good for you. You mightn't like it. If you came in here and tried to do a podcast here, you said, oh Christ, what's this? Oh, I don't usually have coffee while I'm recording. But I have coffee here and it needs to be drunk because it's going cold. I know you people in other countries, specifically America, some of you make a big deal of your cold coffee. You think, oh, I'm having cold coffee. I'm having iced coffee, some of you, which is reasonably normal. Iced coffee is a nice, refreshing beverage. But then there's some of you, you have something called cold brew coffee, which if I understand correctly, you have some way of making coffee that doesn't involve boiling the water. I don't know what you do. You brew it somehow without using heat. I don't know. I don't know what brewing is, really, but I remember my father used to brew beer, which is something you drink cold, and even that, you had to boil stuff in a saucepan on the hob. So you don't even do cold brewing on beer, which nobody drinks hot. Nobody drinks hot beer. Anytime you hear anyone talking about a beer, if they refer to the temperature at all, they'll say, oh, it's a lovely cold beer, the ice cold beer, they'll say, ice cold, as cold as be damned. As cold as if I was stuck on Mount Everest during a storm and you had to bivouac under my climbing partner's corpse and put some snow on top of it to survive a night. Trying to write a diary about it, then I realise I don't know how to spell bivouac. Or is it bivouac? I forget. I read a lot of these mountaineering books. They're always going on about their bivouac. It's a very strange word that I never heard of until I started reading these things. A bivouac refers to when mountaineerings, they spend a few nights climbing a mountain and then sometimes they'll have a night, often high up, just before they make their run for the summer. They'll have a night where they don't get to an official tent or camp. They hang out between camps. And sometimes they're literally hanging out because they'll have a bivouac shelf or hammock or something, which they hang halfway up a cliff. They'll be climbing some enormous cliff face and they'll get to the evening and they'll say, we're not going to get to the top of this. So they'll set up a hammock or something, or they'll find a tiny, tiny, tiny ledge and they'll get into a bivouac bag. It's like the tent with no structure. It's just a bag. It's like if your house didn't have a frame and you just kind of had a pile of plaster and bricks and ceiling material, wood I suppose you call it, and you just sat in the middle of that pile. That's what a bivouac tent is like. And then they have bivouac hammocks that they hang off the side of some cliff and they're fucking terrifying. And then what else do they have? Oh, they have, the whole point of bivouac is that you have nothing. You don't have your tent with you. You have your bag or your hammock or something if you're lucky, or else they make what they call a snow cave. Basically, they bury themselves alive in the snow, dig a hole in the snow, and they sleep in that, and that supposedly keeps you warmer. Same with the igloos. They say, oh, if you're in a snow tent or a house made of literal ice that's so cold it stays frozen, apparently being inside that makes you warmer than just being out in the normal cold. Well, that's ridiculous. Well, apparently it's true. I suppose in a way it makes sense. Suppose. If you didn't have a house and you had access to low temperatures, a walk-in fridge, you're locked in there and you know you're going to be stuck in there all night because everyone's gone home and there's nobody can get you out. It's probably back in the days before they made it compulsory to put handles on the inside of fridge doors. It's a bit weird that they didn't have handles on the inside of the walk-in ones if they didn't. But I suppose that they didn't. And you're locked in one of these. If you were to get some of the ice from the ice compartment in that walk-in fridge and build an igloo, would that help keep you warmer? I'm not sure it would. For one thing, if you're in the fridge compartment and you get the ice, you build the igloo around that, that's not going to stay frozen because you're not in the freezer section. That's going to melt because it's going to end up wet. You'll get pneumonia. You'll be halfway through the night in your walk-in refrigeration department and this igloo is going to melt all around you. You're going to be soaked wet. You're going to get pneumonia and probably die. The other possibility is if you go into the walk-in freezer section of your walk-in fridge freezer. If you can build an igloo in there, I suppose that'll stay frozen, but you'll also freeze, presumably. You'll be inside that, you'll freeze because you'll be in the freezer. Unless the igloo around you somehow stops you from freezing, I don't think that would be the case. Because if that was the case, anything that you put in a freezer, the contents from the middle of it would not freeze, and that's not the case. So, no. So I don't think an igloo would be much use to you in the freezer section of a walk-in fridge freezer. And it wouldn't be any use to you in the refrigerator section of the walk-in fridge freezer because it'll melt. Unless, I suppose, you have some sort of ice bags and each brick of the igloo is in an ice bag. So at least you won't get wet when it melts. You'll just get buried in bags of melted ice water. Probably suffocate because those are plastic. No, you don't want to sleep under plastic bags. That's very dangerous. So I suppose the only solution there is to not get locked in your walk-in fridge freezer at work or anywhere else. How did we get to this? Oh yes, I was saying if you didn't have a house, could you build an igloo in your fridge freezer at work? No, but if you have an option of building an igloo in your fridge freezer at work, that implies that you have a job. So there are other ways you might be able to get yourself out of this no-home situation eventually. Back when I worked in an office, people were still able to afford places to live. Maybe the situation has changed now and they're becoming more accepting of people sleeping in the office. Maybe so. Maybe so, or maybe you're working so hard that you can create the impression that you just fell asleep at your desk in the middle of the night and you're not trying to use it as a home. It's just hard work. In which case, they're going to ask you, why are you not getting your work done during the day or through the extra hour or two that you stay in the evening just to impress everybody? Surely to God, it shouldn't take all night to do it. And you'll say, no, I suppose it shouldn't. And then you have to explain, it's not that I'm incompetent and not getting the work done. I'm just taking my time. I'm using all the hours God gave me and working all night so I can do a better quality. I could get this done between 9 and 5. I just choose to spend longer doing it, and I'm happy to do so, and it's not because I need somewhere to sleep at night. No, they'll say, that's fine. Just one thing. There are insurance issues about this office. It's not insured as a residence or a dormitory. So fuck off out of here. And that'll be the end of that. Climbing books. I think there was one where they were choosing to either climb Everest in winter or climb the back face that nobody goes up because they're not lunatics. Something like that. He arranged to spend a night in a walk-in freezer or walk-in refrigerator in some workplace. He describes how he goes into this walk-in refrigerator to test out some new bivouac hammock. So he hung it off some meat shelf and spends the night there. Security guard came in the morning and goes, what in the name of Christ is going on here? I think that's what made me think of walk-in fridges. So I suppose like you could argue I stole the idea of sleeping in a walk-in fridge from this climber who slept in a walk-in fridge. I suppose he doesn't really own the idea of sleeping in a walk-in fridge just because he did it. If I go and have a piss now, it doesn't mean I own the idea of having a piss. No, people have been having a piss since the dawn of time, since the dawn of civilization. In fact, since before the dawn of civilization, maybe not before the dawn of time. Although, wait a minute, maybe yes, before the dawn of time. I know there weren't people urinating at the dawn of time. But before the dawn of time, time didn't exist, so you're outside of time. The dawn of time is outside of time, so arguably the dawn of time still exists right now. So if I piss now, I could be having a piss at the dawn of time. I suppose that's taking it a bit too far. Now, point is, people have been having a piss since the dawn of time. If I went for a piss now, I said, oh, someone else invented the idea of having a piss. I'm stealing from them. No, I'm not. Where did that fella go when he needed a piss, by the way, in the middle of the night? He's in a walk-in food refrigerator. Presumably he needs a piss at some point. Is he going to get a bucket, piss into that? I would leave it in the freezer compartment if I was doing that. I think it's better frozen. If you're going to have an open bucket of piss that you keep somewhere and leave it all night in this fridge that's full of food. Hopefully the health inspectors don't know about this. Actually, no, I take that back. I say hopefully the health inspectors don't know about this, the food safety inspectors. I hope they do know about this. If this fella's going sleeping in the fridge with their food and pissing into a bucket, I hope they do know about that. And there's no reason to allege that they wouldn't. I have to assume people are doing everything legally. Whoever's the food manager in that place is keeping a record of everything for the food safety inspectors, saying, oh, we check the dates on this food regularly. We throw out anything that's out of date. And we keep a record that on the 25th of February, someone slept in here and here are their toilet arrangements. Maybe the most hygienic way to do that would be to piss into a bag and put that in a Ziploc bag and then put that inside another bag and put that inside a further bag, a plastic bag, and then freeze that, I suppose. Are you going to put all that detail in the report? I don't know. Especially if this fella didn't work there. It was a premises owned or operated or managed by a friend of his. He didn't work there, so he wouldn't have been keeping all the records. Unless he was asked to. Whoever was running this place apparently didn't even tell the security guard to expect to see some fella sleeping in there all night. So maybe they're not that organised, but I have to assume we have rule of law and due process. So I'm not going to allege or assume that someone was mismanaging this place and not doing whatever the proper procedures are that you're supposed to do when you have someone sleeping in your fridge and pissing. You have to assume that. And maybe he didn't piss at all night in there. There are people who can go all night without urinating. In fact, I've heard on at least two other podcasts now, in the 20 years or so that I've been listening to podcasts, I've come across at least two where the host or one of the guests has gone into prison for a weekend, for 3 or 4 days, and managed to go the whole weekend without needing to do a number two in the toilet. I don't know if they could avoid urinating, but if they could avoid doing a shit during a short prison stay, they think about this a lot. These people who go into 3 or 4 days in prison were nothing major. They weren't murdering anyone. Some relatively minor thing that you Americans like to put people into prison for the weekend. And they go into jail for 3 or 4 days and you hear them on their podcast. They're planning this for months in advance. If I go into jail on that date, how will I get around the needing to use the bathroom thing? Well, they can't. There's no way to avoid the urinating thing. You're going to need to urinate at some point. But the other thing, they seem to manage to pull that off. So that's good. But if you're going into a fridge for the night, I don't think I could go all night without needing a piss. I'm certainly going to be needing one when I wake up. The staff aren't going to arrive at 5 a.m. presumably. It'd be more like 8 or 9 a.m. Unless it's the type of a place where the staff turn up at 4 a.m. or something and they can get you out and then you go for a piss somewhere. That's the only situation which I could avoid needing a piss in that. Well, I would argue if you're being let out for a piss at 4 or 5, you haven't stayed the whole night. If you went to a haunted house and you left at 4 a.m. because you need to go for a piss downstairs or next door or get out of that place to go have a piss somewhere that's not haunted, you haven't stayed the night in that haunted house. If you haven't had your morning break pee, your morning break piss in the haunted house or the haunted hotel room or wherever you've agreed to stay in, no, then you haven't stayed the night. That doesn't count. You Americans had this president called Abraham Lincoln. He was assassinated. And there's an Abraham Lincoln bedroom in the White House, apparently. The British Prime Minister during World War II, Winston Churchill, spent a night in the White House in the Lincoln bedroom. At one point, he had a bath. He got up out of his bath, naked, according to him, and stood up and left the bathroom and saw Abraham Lincoln standing there. He said something like, "Good evening, Mr. Lincoln, you appear to have me at a disadvantage." And according to Churchill's rendition of this incident, Lincoln then kind of smiled at him and faded away. So you have one of the most famous houses in the world. This is at a time during World War II, you're having a leader, one of your allies from a country that's about to be fighting off the Nazis. They're trying to get Hitler out. And he's visiting your White House. You don't put him in the haunted bedroom. That's just rude. If you have a bedroom that you know it's haunted, you don't put the prime minister of some other country in there. You need to learn basic diplomacy. I think it was your man with the polio. He was in charge at the time. I don't know if he made the decision about who gets to go in which bedroom. Was there someone else more important who got to go in the less haunted bedroom? Or maybe they thought, if you have a famously haunted bedroom that Abraham Lincoln visits, maybe it's considered rude to not let your VIP sleep in there. Maybe if they hadn't put him in there, they thought Winston Churchill would go, "Why didn't they put me in the haunted bedroom? That's being snubbed. I've been snubbed in fucking a normal, standard, not haunted bedroom." I don't know. I might have this wrong, I don't know. But I think the White House was completely rebuilt. And the original White House was probably just a little cottage with two or three rooms in it. And there was probably a Lincoln bedroom in there. There was probably the master bedroom. And that's probably where Lincoln slept when he was president. So there's no point in haunting a building that isn't used anymore. So they moved him. They moved the Lincoln bedroom, perhaps. Perhaps they scooped out the inside of the bedroom, took all the plaster off the wall, took the carpets and the decor and moved it completely to an empty room in the new High House. I suppose that's possible. Would that count as a Lincoln bedroom then? I suppose Lincoln's ghost apparently thinks it does because he haunts the new place. Maybe the original White House was there and they built a new one around it. Maybe it's like that weird little shopping centre in Dublin. There's this little shopping centre in Dublin. It's called the Powers Court Townhouse Centre. And there is built around a couple of townhouses or something. When you go into the middle of this shopping centre, there's this courtyard with a roof on it. But this used to disturb me as a child. You'd go into this shopping centre, the middle of it was a kind of covered courtyard. But there were houses, there were old townhouses built into the structure. It's like being in an inside-out house. You see this old little townhouse that was inside the shopping centre. You could see the outside of this house, the outside windows and outside wall and outside door. And that had been built around, so it was indoors now. The outside of the house was indoors. I was like some cartoon. You see Bugs Bunny and something happens to him. He gets turned inside out. So you see his blood vessels and his heart and organs on the outside turn completely inside out. You see that in a cartoon, except this was in a shopping centre in Dublin. I was brought around this when I was 7 or 8 years of age. I remember going there thinking, "I don't want to see this. This is disturbing. It's like an inside out house. It's weird." The house hadn't really been turned inside out. It had just been built around. So the house was inside a shopping centre. Well, still, I found it disturbing. I found it disturbing. I didn't like that at all. So I wonder, is that what they did with the original White House? Did they build this new structure around it? Or did they build it on top of it? Is this old cottage in the basement now? Is that the place where they go where they plan their wars and things? You see on all these White House shows, The West Wing and that thing with Kevin Spacey in it, all these things. You have some emergency. You go into this basement. There'll be some army fella there looking very serious, barking orders at everybody. Like the president comes in and then the army fella says, "Hello, Mr. President, we're going to update you on what's happening." And he gets out his pointing wand and his blackboard and he says, "Here's a picture of some stuff that's happening. Here's a satellite picture of whatever's going on. I don't know, some invasion on the moon or something." maybe it's the moon landings or so. Now, NASA is looking after the moon landings, but we're looking after the part where there's these aliens watching the moon landings from behind a rock somewhere. So they have all that. So here's a, Mr. President, here's a picture of the moon. This is the moon. It's not made of cheese. Well, as far as we know, it's not made of cheese. Well, we hope not, because NASA has people landed on it now. But we don't know, but we're not the science people. We're the fighting people. We're the fighting department of your government, Mr. President. So we know about the fighting stuff. We don't know about the cheese and the science and the stuff. But there might be these aliens hiding behind rocks watching the moon landings on the moon, Mr. President. There might or might not, or we might be just making this up, or this might be just some conspiracy people talk about decades later. We don't know. There's no way of knowing. Well, there is a way of knowing, because obviously you have these satellite images. I'm not going to show you the satellite images, though. I'm just going to draw a picture of it on this whiteboard. Here's a picture of what we saw in the satellite images. I'll draw a little head here. And then I'll draw a stick figure body coming out of it. I'll put two arms on it, Mr. President, and two legs. And I'll put another person beside that. So there's two people there. Draw two stick figures there. Those are the astronauts. Now they haven't landed yet. They're on the space rocket. They're inside the space rocket. So I'll draw a space rocket around them. I'll just draw a kind of box around them. I won't put a roof and a chimney on it because it's not a house I'm drawing. But it's basically the same shape as a house. I'll just draw a box around them. Maybe an exhaust pipe at the side. Do space rockets have exhaust pipes on them? Well, I suppose the rocket is the exhaust and that falls off. By the time it's got to the moon, the rocket and the smoke and stuff, that's all gone. If it gets really cold and all that smoke comes out, you know when you're cold, you go out in the very cold, Mr. President, and you can see your breath. You're exhaling, you can see your breath coming out. It looks like smoke or steam. I presume they have an exhaust pipe for that on the landing module, because it's very cold in space. I don't know. Like I say, I'm from the fighting department of the government, not the moon space stuff department. So I don't really know, to be perfectly honest. So that's what was going on in the basement of the White House during the moon landings. And I imagine that perhaps the old White House, that was just a little cottage, is inside the basement there and they built it around it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe. So that's like the Paris Court Townhouse Shopping Centre in Dublin. It has a little old townhouse inside it. I always found that disturbing. I don't think it was haunted, though. Just probably doesn't really matter. Adding this stuff about the haunting to this is just gilding the lily. There's enough in it already. No, let's not go back to the haunting stuff. But already doing a shopping centre with a townhouse inside. There's stuff happening on the moon. I hope you don't think I'm into moon conspiracies now because I did that little thing. No, that's just nonsense, absolute nonsense. I've no conspiracies about the moon. The thing about the White House, you have to remember, especially the White House West Wing, if you watch enough of these White House dramas, you come to realise at any one time in America, there were more fake TV White House West Wing sets, very realistic ones, and there are actual West Wing rooms in existence. There's only one White House in existence at any one time, one White House West Wing, but there are several in these TV recording bunkers in Hollywood or wherever they make these things. I presume they don't use the same one for all the different shows because they're not all made by the same people, even though they look the same. If you're lucky enough to have jobs in two of these shows, separate productions, yeah, might be on the West Wing for a year or two. And then you go over to the Kevin Spacey one. You go into that. That's made on a completely different set somewhere else. It's the same White House, but it's a different set. Looks the same, but it's another completely separate. It's no less real or no more real than the one on the West Wing. It's a different place. Different place. It's a bit like if you get your child one of those Elmo stuffed toys, or a lot of people like to get the Mad Drummer out of the Muppets to get a soft toy of him. It's sold in Disney stores all over the world. It's available everywhere. So if you have one of them and I have one of them and we're in different parts of the world, that's a bit like having a replica White House. neither of them were any more real than the other ones. If I happened to be a better puppeteer, mine might seem more real. But we all know it's not. And there is the original puppet of the drummer in the Muppets, probably sitting in a storage place somewhere. They've used it recently for the comeback of the Muppets. Well, they probably even have more of them. Back in the day, they used to have Kermit going on both Sesame Street and the Muppet Show in the same era. So I think it's very likely they had more than one Kermit. He didn't commute. The fellow who played Kermit, he may well have had to commute from the Sesame Street set to wherever they used to make the Muppet Show. In fact, they used to make the Muppet Show in England, didn't they? I think they used to make the Muppet Show in England. At the same time, Sesame Street was going on in America. Jim Henson played Kermit in the early days. Jim Henson presumably had to commute across the Atlantic, but he didn't bring Kermit with him every time, surely, did he? That'd be ridiculous. All that excess baggage fees. No, he'd have more than one Kermit. He'd keep one in England and one in America, surely. I don't know. It's not like he was commuting every week, was it? I don't think so. I think he probably did it more cleverly than that. He'd go over to England for a while, make a season of Muppet shows, then go back and do a batch of Sesame Street appearances. So maybe it did work like that. But did it work like that for David Frost? There was this fellow, David Frost. He was an English journalist who started in satirical sketch shows. So he was kind of the straight man who introduced all the items on the satirical sketch show. For a while, he was doing TV several days a week in both America and England on separate shows. So he would commute to America by plane from England. Now, he wasn't a puppet, so he couldn't just have two David Frosts, no. And of course, Jim Henson wasn't a Muppet either. You couldn't have two Jim Hensons. There have been people who've done Kermit who've been quite credible, but the current Kermit, no. If they can't even imitate the original Kermit, the fictional frog, can you imagine if they tried to imitate Jim Henson? Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this. I'm not one of these people, by the way, who thinks every fucking Kermit should sound exactly the same as the original. No. Well, it shouldn't sound shit. The current Kermit sounds shit, and he's been doing it for about 7 years, and when he first came in, apparently everyone said, oh, he'll settle into the role, he'll get good at it. Well, he's not got good at it. All he does now is go, yay, and he sounds stupid. You sound stupid, Kermit. Kermit, you sound stupid. It's not your fault. Whoever's manipulating you sounds stupid. You don't sound like someone who spent 20 years on Sesame Street being exposed to all this education. And I don't mean you have a learning disability, you know. Just whoever's operating, you can't imitate Kermit properly. That's ridiculous. That's all we're saying here. Well, that and the White House moon stuff. Was that in this segment? I can't remember. How long is this? This segment's been going for 16 minutes. I can't remember, did I do the moon stuff during this? Oh yes, the White House. Yeah, the White House stuff I did. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, suffice to say, Kermit, you suck.
Into your head.
Once upon a time, there was a dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. Dog, a dog, a dog, a dog. Basically a dog. Just one dog. I know I've said a dog several times. That doesn't mean I'm saying a dog for each dog present. No, there's one dog there. If there was a quantity of dogs, I would either state the quantity. I'd say once upon a time there were seven dogs or several dogs. Or an unknown quantity of dogs. I know there's just one dog involved here. It's just a thing I do, which I've explained several times now on various previous episodes over the last year or two. If you're new here and you ever get into this podcast enough to listen to some of the recent back catalogue, you learn quickly enough what the dog thing is all about. Don't worry. It's not going to spoil your enjoyment of the programme. Once upon a time, there was a dog. And this dog, he was walking along the street one day, minding his own business. Then suddenly he finds himself on an unmanned space rocket on his way to the moon. Well, on its way to the moon. He was on his way home. He wasn't on his way to the moon. He was diverted. It's like if you're on your way to work and there's a diversion and you end up on some motorway somewhere out the middle of nowhere because of the diversion. You weren't on your way to the motorway. No, you were on your way to work. So this dog wasn't on his way to the moon. He found himself diverted to the moon. I say suddenly, this happened over the course of a year or two. He was on his way. He was walking along the street, minding his own business. And within 20 months, he was on a space rocket to the moon. Not by choice, no. That day that he was walking on the road had no connection to how he ended up going to the moon. I'm just saying, one day he's walking along the road. Next day, 20 months later, he's on a space rocket on the way to the moon. That doesn't explain how he ended up on a space rocket going to the moon, but the dog doesn't know how he ended up on the space rocket going to the moon either. So that gives you a sense of how the dog felt. If you're thinking, wait a minute, so he's walking along the road minding his own business, and then suddenly 20 months later he's on a space rocket to the moon. That doesn't make sense. Well, it didn't make sense to the dog either. It made even less sense to him. Probably didn't know what a space rocket is. I don't know what a space rocket is. Wait a minute. I suppose you don't really travel on a space rocket. There's a thing with a space rocket hanging out the back of it and the rocket falls away eventually. Well, I was under the impression as a child, watching all the space stuff going on, that a space rocket was a vehicle that you travel on a rocket. Eventually I learned it. As you ascend out of the atmosphere, the rockets on the back of the vehicle fall off one by one. It's very much like the process of smoking a cigarette. The first of the rockets burns off, you use up all its power getting up out of the atmosphere, and that falls away. And it's very much like, I presume, for smokers. I've never been a smoker, but I presume when you're smoking, there comes a point when you've smoked away a few milliliters of cigarette. And that's when we see you using the ashtray. You hold it over the ashtray and you tap it with your finger, and it's like getting rid of the first rocket that's burned off. I presume that's how it works. I presume the ashtrays are for basically for your discarded, burnt up rockets in the form of ashes. We've got some discarded, burnt up cats in the form of ashes in this house in various ornate containers. I suppose that's a bit like that. But you probably don't mourn part of your cigarette falling off. You perhaps mourn the cigarette when it's completely gone, or when the whole pack is gone and you don't have access to any more. We do that with our cats. We mourn our cats. We put ashes into memorial devices. That's like tapping a bit of ash off, except it's not. Because when we run out of cats, we don't go up to some stranger and say, hello, can I bum a cat off you? No. Our oldest cat, Jody, the last of our elderly cats, died recently. We're running out of cats. We're down to 3 cats. We're not going to just go up to someone in the street or another cat owner sitting beside us on the bus and say, can I bum a cat off you? No. There's more appropriate way to find cats than noticing that the person behind you is enjoying a cat and asking, can I bum a cat off you? It's fine for smokers. It's fine for smokers, though. You go ahead and do that. That's what I used to imagine anyway as a child. A trip to the moon involved a space vehicle, 2 or 3 rockets hanging off the end of it. They fall off one by one as they're burnt off, just as you knock off a bit of your cigarette as it turns to ashes and disintegrates. But then there's a little vehicle left. That's called a space shuttle or a pod or something like that. I called that as a child. I referred to that as a space rocket. The vehicle was a space rocket. Which, of course, is inaccurate. You can't travel inside a rocket any more than you can travel inside a bomb. Although, you watch some episodes of 90s Star Trek, there's a couple of episodes where a highly modern bomb or missile is being sent from some faraway planet to some other faraway planet on a very long trip. One of them, the engineer, gets onto this missile. And for some reason, it has a bridge or something. It has a little room that she can go into with buttons and things. And it's like a little vehicle. So she starts trying to disarm the vehicle. The missile starts talking to her. Basically says, what are you doing? And after a while, the missile starts realizing she's trying to disarm it, and the missile starts locking her out of various systems. There's a dashboard inside this missile. This autonomous missile, there's a dashboard and a little compartment. It's like the bridge of a very small ship, and she's in there pressing buttons trying to figure stuff out. And this autonomous thing is going, no, I'm going to lock you out of that now. I'm programmed to bomb this planet I'm on my way to, and you're trying to interfere with, so no, stop it. That's what I thought rockets were like as a child. A rocket was something with a compartment inside it that you sit in and you sleep in. No gravity in these things. You get into them, you just start floating around. If you could recreate that lack of gravity outside of the space vehicle, then you could just have people float up to space. No vehicle at all, just let them out into space, and I suppose maybe that wouldn't work. I'm not really much of a scientist. I got an E in chemistry in my school leaving exams. Let's not go back into that again, though. In case you're wondering, I was proud of the fact that I got an E, which is a fail, but I hadn't tried to learn anything. I'd memorised nothing, yet somehow I managed to get between 25 and 39% on this exam. And I'm still proud of it to this day. So much so that that's about the fifth time I've brought it up in this podcast. You do well in chemistry. How many times have you brought that up on your podcast over the last 30 years? If the answer is less than 4 or 5, then that tells me that although you did better than me in chemistry, you're not as proud of it. So you get less satisfaction out of that. Just goes to show it's not about the grade, it's about the satisfaction. The satisfaction. Anyway, this dog, he finds himself on a rocket to the moon 20 months after the walking along the street incident. The walking along the street incident is of no relevance, but he does end up on a rocket to the moon. They're experimenting on dogs for some reason. They're testing human stuff on a dog. They're having him try out all the oxygen systems and the gravity systems and the in-flight entertainment and the food. They don't give him dog food. They give him human food. There'd be no point testing dog food on a dog unless you're planning to start sending dogs to space. So perhaps they will eventually. If we're going to colonize other planets, there's going to be people who want to have a pet with them. Presumably you can breed dogs and cats on other planets once you've set up the colony. Going to have to bring at least one dog and at least one cat. In fact, they're going to have to bring at least 2 dogs and at least 2 cats. Unless they're going to breed them together. It's going to be basically like an ark. Having a female dog and a male dog. And a female cat and a male cat. Because you can't just arrive at the colony and say, I brought my family here, we're going to set up a new life. Just need a family pet. Can I bum a cat off someone? I have a female one. If you have a male one, then we can get them together and create a new cat. And you say, what? No, I didn't bring a cat with me. That's the problem. I thought I could just bum one off you. No, it doesn't work like that. It just occurred to me, you probably think I'm rather naive in thinking you can scoop out the insides of the Lincoln bedroom from the old White House and just transfer it. And then transfer the ghost somehow. You're probably thinking, that idiot doesn't realise that Abraham Lincoln was around during the new White House era. He worked and lived in the new White House that exists today. That's probably what you're thinking. Well, I haven't looked up for anything. I don't research this, but maybe that's what you're thinking. Wasn't he president in the 1800s or something? He wasn't there in like the 1600s. Have you got that right or wrong? I don't know. He had your first president, whoever that was. Was that? No. Or was there a later thing where you had a civil war? Was that in the 1800s? I don't know. But you know when the civil war was in my country. Well, perhaps you do. But that's only because my country has only existed through one century. If I was to ask you, when was the civil war in my country? And you happen to know that my country didn't exist till the 1900s. And if it was in the 2000s, I think we'd have heard about it on the news. So yes, your civil war happened in the 1900s. And you'd be right, but you just got lucky because you were asked a question about a country that has only existed in 2 centuries, one of which you exist in and have access to news. But if you ask me, you Americans, what century your civil war was in, and what century your country was created in, I'd have to go back and think, wait, the earliest American history I know about is The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, when you're all living on that lake and you had the steamboat, which turned up a couple of hundred years later on, it turned up in Steamboat Willie, one of Walt Disney's first cartoons. That was the next mention of the steamboat. But no, you have steamboats back in, was that the 17th or 18th century, perhaps? I don't know. It was on television, though. They made a television series out of it. And that was shown here in Ireland in the 1980s. When I was watching children's television, they showed The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. But it was old. There was an old TV import, so it wasn't necessarily from the 1980s. So he had steamboats going way back, way, 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 way back. That was probably after the Civil War, was it? Well, it was after the foundation of the Earth State. I don't know. How long have you people been around? I'm not sure. I think what I'm struggling to remember is whether Abraham Lincoln was one of your very first presidents or he was just a president after the Civil War. And I would think he was one of your very first presidents, which would imply Lincoln's ghost is a lot older than I thought. I was thinking it was from the 1800s. But no, it must be way back, must be further back from that. So Abraham Lincoln may well have lived in the original White House that was just a little cottage. Did he have another White House before that, perhaps, that was just a bed-sitting room apartment? Because we have property ladders in normal countries, so you didn't just start off with your first little cottage, your house, did you? No, I don't think so, no. My first property was a rented bed-sitting room apartment. My second property was another rented bed-sitting room apartment that was slightly less gross, and then rented a little house for a while, and then bought a house. You don't just go from having nothing to owning a cottage and then building a brand new White House with 85 bedrooms and an underground basement where you control what happens on the moon. When your president travels around the country, he could quite easily, if he wanted to address the nation or address the press in a press office, he could just visit one of those TV sets where they're making a White House show and stand in there, and they'll be properly set up for filming. They wouldn't have to set up lighting or outside broadcast facilities or anything. It's all set up. The cameras are all there. It's probably even better lit and better equipped for TV broadcast and filming than the White House press room itself. I wonder that you do that. You probably don't. You probably don't, because you're afraid people will get confused. They think, oh, I saw the president on the TV set. That means he's not real. I suppose there's that. Your politics are confusing enough as it is, especially to us foreigners. I don't understand your politics at all. I went to America a couple of times in the 1990s, before there were podcasts. So I had to listen to talk radio to entertain myself. You had this fella, Rush Limbaugh, who I later learned everybody hates, or he's apparently terrible or something, or his politics are undesirable. That time I didn't know anything about politics or how your country is run or anything. So it's just this fella on the radio who I thought was quite entertaining at the time. He would go, oh, look at me. I've one hand tied behind my back and I'm arguing with everyone and this is great. Watch me. Listen to this for 3 hours. Rush Limbaugh was a conservative talk radio host who died a few years ago. He's had this 3 hour radio program. The top of every hour, he'd come on with this thudding bass sound. There was a song by the Pretenders who were apparently absolutely furious and disgusted that he would use their work. No, we don't agree with him. We made this song. It wasn't about Rush Limbaugh. It was probably about something else. He didn't use the actual song. He just used the music from it, not the vocals. So I'm not familiar with the song at all, but I'm very familiar, thanks to spending some time in America before podcasts were available. I'm very familiar with the bass line of that song. It went something like this. How's the bass line? I know it doesn't sound like the bass line. This isn't the bass guitar. My other harmonica might have been slightly more bassy. It's not meant to be an exact recreation. The top of every hour, three times a day, Rush Limbaugh will come on and they say it's the Rush Limbaugh program, and this thudding music would start up. It would go on for ages as well. You're on 800 radio stations. You have to have the music on for a minute or two. Give them time to get their shit together and join in the broadcast before you say anything. So they'd run this baseline. It's a free ad for the Pretenders. Except the problem is they'd play it where they didn't say, oh, incidentally, this is the Pretenders. It wasn't like MTV where they'd play it and you go, oh, I wonder what that is. And then you just read the caption that comes up at the end of this video song. And it says, oh, this is the Pretenders. It's from this album and it came out in this year. And it's available in Tower Records. No, they were furious. They thought, this fucking cunt, this absolute arsehole is using our music, leaving out the vocals. He's doing his own vocals. He's not even singing. He'd play this thing and then he'd start doing his own vocals, but he'd just be saying stuff about George Bush or Newt Gingrich or whoever you had at the time. Nothing to do with the original lyrics of the song. What were the original lyrics of the song as a matter of interest? In fact, what was the song as a matter of interest? I don't know. I just know that it was the Pretenders. I never even heard the song at all until a year or two ago. Oh, that sounds familiar. Are they playing Rush Limbaugh on Irish radio now? I thought he was dead. No. Well, it wouldn't surprise me because they play... You have this fella in America who presents everything. He used to introduce America's Got Talent. And then he started replacing all the old people who died on everything. He took over that New Year's Night TV special that the 150-year-old DJ used to present, and he took over your man who used to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He used to do this morning talk show on the TV. I'll remember his name in a minute. Him and his wife used to do, and then him and some other woman used to do, and then he died, and they replaced him with this fella. But he was also on the radio, so they moved his radio station into the TV set. So it's like that Paris Court townhouse centre now, except instead of having a townhouse in the middle of a shopping centre, you have this arsehole's radio studio in the middle of the TV set. My point is, that's on local radio in Dublin. It was about 10 years ago, last time I checked. They were playing his fucking American music radio program on local thing. Seacrest, something Seacrest. Yeah, something Seacrest. Alan Seacrest. Jason Seacrest. Philip Seacrest Hoffman, no. Jonathan Seacrest. Adam Seacrest, it could be. He's so tedious and boring. Any of those names that I said could have been correct, but he's so boring it didn't even stand out. So if I said John Seacrest, that could well be his name, but I don't recognize it. That's how unmemorable he is, despite being everywhere. Every television program in America, whenever someone dies, they replace him with him now. I'm going to look this up. Hold on. It was John. Well, not exactly. It says here his name was Ryan John Seacrest. So his name was Ryan Seacrest, which does sound right. But John was his middle name, so apparently there's that. Now, the nice old man who he replaced on that morning show, who I thought was great, was Regis Philbin. He replaced him after he died. But now he's apparently left that show. Some issue over something or other. I didn't like travelling or something, I don't know. Even though they built him a fucking radio studio in the place so he could do his two jobs from the one place. Ryan Seacrest's radio show started appearing out of nowhere on local Dublin radio here about 10, 12 years ago, something like that. It was fucking ridiculous. It was absolutely appalling and ridiculous situation. It's like if you got some man who presents the weather forecast in Sydney, Australia. If you had him on the American news talking about his cat and you said, oh yes, you know this fella, he presents the weather in Australia. We're going to have him here on the local radio here to talk about his cat. I'm not looking up stuff on this program ever again. Don't make me look up stuff. It's ridiculous. I used to do this in the old days. It was very distracting in the old days. I used to do this program sitting in front of a huge computer screen. Anything I thought of, I start typing and looking it up and get all distracted. I don't even know what this segment was about now. Is this the same segment where I said stuff, then I went, is this the same segment where I was talking about the White House? I don't think it is, no. So I'll find out later. Edit it in some way that makes sense, I suppose. I'm applying plasters to my finger as we speak. Well, you may or may not be speaking, I don't know. If you are speaking, you're probably not hearing this. You have me on as background. I don't like the idea that you can have podcasts on as background. The same way as I do with the radio and the TV, you have them on as background noise that you don't listen to. I don't like the idea that there's a possibility that people are playing this on their car radio or their headphones or something, but not paying attention. They're having a conversation with someone else. And this is just background noise. It's not that I mind the idea of having background sounds on. It's just that if you're going to do that, you should do that with a radio station or a record or something you're going to listen to over and over again. If you're listening to this, this is a one-off listen. And if you're just playing it as background noise and you're only hearing bits of it between conversations with your wife about your cat or something, that's wasting my time as well as yours. This is a whole program that I've put together, edited, that's meant to be listened to entirely. It's not meant as background. If it was background music, I would just put together some sort of loop and just mix it all up and it would just be nonsense that you just ignore. It's called a program for a reason. I've programmed an hour or so of content. It may not be the finest content you've ever heard, but certainly not background noise. I don't like the idea that you can be listening to this as background noise and not paying attention. I'm demonstrating right now to myself, as it happens, why that's a bad idea. I'm putting a plaster on my finger in the background here. It's in my foreground. It's right in front of me. My hands are in front of me on the desk here, but I'm not paying attention because I'm talking to you. And as a result, I'm making a complete mess of the plaster. I've broken two plasters already. I haven't even covered the cut on my finger. I put them on the wrong side of my finger. That's what happens if you do something in the background. I should be applying this. This is first aid. I should be doing it in the foreground. And I should be doing it 2 days ago when I got this cut. I did put a plaster on it at the time when it came off. And starting to hurt again. I don't know. I have an injury from putting shopping in the car. We did a click and collect from the Tesco supermarket and they crammed all this stuff into the back of the car and somehow cut my forefinger doing that. And I've gone back to doing it in the background and not paying attention and continuing to make a mess of it. I'm not sure these are even plasters I've taken out. There's some weird strips. I wasted 3 of them now as well. Oh, those are weird plasters. They're not suitable for this task at all. I have to find better ones. That one's wasted. No, I'll do that later. Fuck it. If I get infected in the next half hour or so, that's just the price of being a podcaster. Don't worry about it. Put these away. That's in a noisy plastic bag anyway, so I don't want to be handling that here. I'll just leave that and just... I think you see now the problem of doing stuff in the background. That's just not on. Don't get me wrong, it's very flattering that he would have it on in the car at all. Someone once sent me a video of this podcast being played in the car as the car was driven across what I realised later may have been the Golden Gate Bridge. A very picturesque looking thing and my voice was on it. My voice from about 18 years ago when I was talking absolutely nothing but shit and when the content on this podcast was not like the way it is today. It was much worse, much, much worse back in those days. A listener who I've since met was playing this on a bridge going across somewhere in the car. So now, great. I like the idea that they can be playing this shit on some car somewhere. I just don't like that it's background noise. In that video, it certainly wasn't background noise, because not only was I in the foreground, this fellow was filming his dashboard, I presume. Wait, how did he do that? So he's in the car listening to me. Well, not really listening to me, now that I think about it. He's messing with his camera. He's filming his surroundings in this car. So yes, he's listening to me in the background, now that I think about it. So I'm not happy about that. He wasn't paying attention to me at all. He's too busy. That's like being at a concert and you're just taking pictures for Facebook. No, pay attention. But still, I appreciate that he took the moment to film the situation of me being played on a car stereo 6,000 miles away. That was great. That was great. Just now that I think about it, that means he was treating me as background noise. There are things you use as background noise. This isn't one of them. This is a program. It's a bit like your washing machine program, except you can have your washing machine on the background and run the program and it's not a problem. But if your washing machine was a program that someone made around the time when cables started going out of fashion, they started filling up all the spare channels with these slow TV programs, things like The View from a canal boat traveling for hours and hours. They'd have whole channels where they just show a fire in a fireplace. Presumably, you could have one that's The View through the porthole of a washing machine. A front-loading washing machine, not those top-loading ones. I've never had a top-loading washing machine. I think you Americans are into them, are you? You have these top-loading washing machines. You're afraid they might leak if you have a door in the front. It's like a hatch on a submarine. You enter through the top and then you close that. And then if there's any leaks through the door, it's not going to get all over the floor. I suppose there's that. But then if you're inside that and it's a submarine and there's a leaky door, then the water's coming straight down on top of you inside. That's not good. I suppose a submarine design and a washing machine design are not the same thing. If your washing machine came in the form of a TV program that you watch, I suppose that would be on one of those channels that's just intended as background, like the fireplace fire channel. You have one that's a washing machine channel. But that would be a program. Washing machines have a program. I think maybe that would be more likely to be watched from start to finish as a program, not just a background thing. Because you watch the washing machine, it starts filling up and then it runs through a pre-filling noise. And then there's a beep noise and you look at the screen and it says, we can't detect that the door is closed properly. So you spend 10 minutes opening and closing the door until it detects that it has closed. And then you press play and then you continue and then it starts filling up with water. The clothes start moving around a bit and then foam starts building up and then there's rinsing and washing again and rinsing and washing and then go slow for a while and then there's the fast spin and then eventually it ends. That's a program. That's different from watching a fireplace. Unless, I suppose, when you watch the fireplace channel, do they show the fire from start to finish? Do they show it just being lit? They probably don't because they don't have enough imagination. Maybe one of us should create one like that. I don't want to create TV channels, but if I was, the fireplace channel, except it has a start-up time and a close-down time. It comes on around 6 o'clock in the evening. You see hands reaching into the fireplace, sweeping up the ashes from last night and then setting up some kindling and carefully setting up the fire and then lighting it with a match. And you watch it burn for a few hours. Maybe occasionally people add some extra logs to it. Then it gets to the channel close down time, which I imagine to be around midnight. The fire slowly disappears. Someone goes off to bed, maybe before it's empty. So you see the lights going off and a metal fire guard being put in front of the fire, spark guard, as a precaution. And you see the embers gradually disappear. That's how I would do that. I bet you they don't do that on those fireplace channels, do they? No, they just switch it on as fire all day and then you switch it off when you're done. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not in the business of setting up TV channels. So you can use that idea if you want. I'm quite impressed I had that idea, though. It's been a while since I had an idea like that. The last idea I came up with was one that I actually use. I've told you about this before. My virtual toast rack. Because when you make toast, you put the toast on, then you take it out. Toast works better if you stack it in the toast rack for 30 seconds before you apply the butter. It kind of dries out slightly, becomes crispier. It just has to be standing more or less vertically for 30 seconds, and that makes the toast crispier because it dries out a little. But you don't need a toast rack for that, I realise. You can just put the two slices of toast leaning against each other, like a tent shape, and you leave it like that for 30 seconds, and then it's ready to go. That's your virtual toast rack. It's exactly the same thing as a normal toast rack would, in terms of that function, and then you can just put them on the plate, ready to go. They don't need to remain in a toast rack while you're eating them or anything, no. So that's the virtual toast rack invention. I've been using that for at least 15 years now. You can't really patent something like that. Even though patenting is all about ideas, you patent an idea, it's a virtual thing, but you can't patent a virtual toast rack, no. I think that's the first big idea I've come up with since the virtual toast rack, though. The fireplace channel that has a beginning, middle, and end. So well done, me. Just goes to show. I still got some get up and go in me. And while I'm going to get up and go out of this room, go into the next room, I'm going to signal to my wife that it's time to order the pizza. Now, I'm not going to, I don't eat pizza. But the pizza place also delivers kebabs, I recently realised. So I'll be having a kebab and it'll be absolutely fucking delicious. Be a lot nicer, I can tell you, than that fucking pizza that people insist on getting. If people stop getting these pizzas from everywhere, then these pizza places could start becoming kebab specialists. You go to these pizza places. If you're the one person in your town who doesn't like pizza, and your whole town is all ordering their pizza in one go, they're ordering a shared pizza between them. You're the one who doesn't like pizza. They have extra menu items for people who don't like pizza. They have one burger, one chicken burger, one beef kebab, and one chicken kebab. And then they have a thing that's called a kebab tray, and it's the insides of a kebab mixed with some chips. So that's what you get if you're not wanting pizza. Someday we'll turn the tables, we'll have a kebab shop to have one pizza as an alternative at the bottom of the menu for people who don't like kebabs. And then you'll all have to have your tomato and cheese pizza. And you'll say, that sounds like a plain pizza. People have this attitude where they say a tomato and cheese pizza is just a plain pizza. You might as well just be eating a pizza crust. Well, that's true. That's because pizzas are shit. Pizzas are shit. Pieces of shit and pizzas are shit. Oh, wait. I didn't mean to come out like that. Pizzas are shit. They're absolute tripe. They're pure unmitigated shit. You've no business having pizzas. Oh, they do curry chips as well, these pizza places. I'm pretty sure that they begrudge us the curry chips. Because that's the one thing, unlike the kebab. If you're set up to make kebabs, you can reuse the kebab stuff. The stuff that goes in the kebab is also stuff that you can offer as pizza toppings. But if they're set up for curry chips and you have a bucket of curry ready to put on the chips, they can't be just having other menu items with curry pizza. No, they don't. So they have to actually have curry that's only there for the curry chips item. And they can't reuse it for something else. No, so they resent the curry chips. So that's why I get it. Anyway, I think that's the end of the program. So the fire starts to flicker down a bit. Someone turns down the lights in the sitting room. You don't see them because the camera is just on the fireplace. The lights go off. Someone puts a mesh frame in front of the fireplace because it's not completely dead yet. Or maybe they throw a bugger of water over it. But I've never had a fire in my young home. As children, we had fireplaces and fires, but I've never had one in my own home. When we had them as a child, I was never there to watch what happens when the fire ends at the end of the night because it was past my bedtime. So someone come along and pour a bucket of water over it, I wonder. I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. I think they just let it die out. So did my parents have to think in advance, what time do I want to go to bed at? Do I want to gradually turn down the fire, ease off? I don't want the house to be roasting hot when I go to bed as well. So do I let it gradually turn itself down from about 9 p.m. till 11 p.m. so there's a gradual fade out? How does that work? We had these things called fire lighters that you use to light a fire. Is there something you use to extinguish a fire? I suppose fire extinguisher. Is that a thing? No, that's for emergencies. The thing where you spray foam on it, no. You don't want the heating system, which you put on because it looks pleasant and relaxes you, makes an enjoyable night in. You don't want to have to end that with a fire extinguisher, because that ruins the effect. Maybe they should do that on the TV channel, though, at the end. A fire extinguisher comes along sometimes and puts it out. Someone's falling asleep on the sofa and they suddenly wake up and say, oh Christ, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I have to be up at six. I have to go to bed. I don't have time to gradually put out the fire. So they get their fire extinguisher. That could be an expensive habit. Because I don't think you can just refill those fire extinguishers very easily. It's only meant to be used in an emergency.